Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
How's it going, Freedomizer?
Hi, Freedomizers. I'm Lily Gonzalez, announcing my new show, Roaring for Healthcare with Tiger Lily. I was a registered nurse for many years, caring for patients from birth to death in 36 facilities across the nation, and I know firsthand just how utterly broken our healthcare system is. But now I'm free from nursing, so I'm able and thrilled to give you some juicy behind-the-scenes insights and advice to help you and your loved ones get the most from our healthcare system. Join me Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time to roar about healthcare only on Freedomizer Radio.
Wow, this is slow. right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Proof Negative show here. TGIM, everyone. Thank goodness it's Monday. I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. Thank you for joining us. And we'll have a guest here in just a couple minutes. Janine Barcelo will be joining us. She is our one of our newest hosts here, hopefully. She'll have her first show here in just a couple days. And for those of you, where was I going to go here? Sorry, I just had to do something just a minute ago at the very last minute that had no choice whatsoever. So now that I'm frazzled. All right, let me go ahead and grab here our phone number. I don't know what the number is that our guest will be calling on here. But let me go ahead and take the call here first since I need a couple minutes here. So 251 area code, you're on with us.
I have a trivia question.
Oh.
Well, it's sort of like a trivia question for you.
All right, that's like the last thing in the world I want right now, but go ahead.
First off, I'll let your listeners, because I'm sure you have people in the chat room, figure this out too. The song Rock Me Mama, and this is the actual song, was featured what group of reality, how can I put this? Let me rephrase this question altogether. The song Rock Me Mama featured what A&E family in the music video?
Oh, I wouldn't even know. I've never heard that song, and I don't know where you're going with this.
It's the A&E TV show. That's all I'm going to say. That's your only hint.
All right. Well, I think I'll probably be better off on my own here. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I really don't want to get into shows. I don't really watch television, and if you're trying to get me on a I wish I can play, but I can't right now. I have a big mess to clean up right behind me, and I'm sorry, I can't do it. Actually, as a matter of fact, I'm going to have to play another song real quick here. Then I'll get into it here in just a couple minutes, but if I don't clean this now, I don't want this room to be ruined here, so I'm going to need about 4 minutes, so I'm just going to play a quick song here so that I can handle business. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
guys. We're back. Sorry about the emergency song playing, but Proof is back. And I'm joined right now by our guest. She will be appearing here on Freedomizer Radio Wednesday late afternoons for the East Coasters out there. Janice Barcelo is with us here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Proof, for having me on. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to be starting my own show on Wednesday. So it's a very good time. Thanks for having me on.
Talk about that. So I know you were supposed to go elsewhere. What made you decide that this is your new home?
Well, I just really wanted to be with a station that is organized and grounded and reaching a lot of people, and who, I mean, you guys have been such a strong support team to get me started, so
yep.
I've been feeling really, really supportive.
I'll let the cat out of the bag. As soon as I started playing my theme music, our dog just came in the room. I told her to leave, and she peed on the floor, so I had to clean that up, and you know, if you let it sit, it's going to be nasty.
Yes.
I don't know what happened here, but my dog usually does not do that kind of stuff. It was just really random. I don't know what just happened, but anyway, I had to get that cleaned up. But unfortunately, it's seconds before my show starts.
Yeah, I didn't realize that happened, so thanks for filling me in.
Sorry, I just don't like leaving those things. It's kind of like... Not to go too far off the subject, but even when we're in a restaurant, I have to put the lid back on the ketchup, even if I'm not using it, just because I just envision ketchup being all over the floor if it just sits there without a lid on.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's good to take
I know,
care of these.
You're getting to know everything about me real quick, aren't you?
Thanks, Proof.
Anyway, I know that you really enjoy fighting the Illuminati. That's
yes,
one thing
I do.
You like.
I don't know what that is about my personality, but I am very clear that we are being influenced by very dark forces, and I've had enough. I'm sure many people have had enough, but I just can't take it anymore, and I cannot keep my mouth shut. Nor can I stop trying to understand how they think and how they operate, because I feel that we have to know everything about our enemy in order to really overcome them, to conquer. I don't want to make this out to be like I want to go to war with people, but I do want to be part of creating a major victory for the forces of love on this planet. And I do think it's that these dark people, these dark energies, and they have to be exposed. And we have to understand how they work and how they've been influencing our lives, every aspect of our lives. You know, from conception on, they are working it and working against us. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, yeah?
Outstanding. That sounds like a good night for me, and
yeah.
I know especially, I know that you've talked before about the Illuminati and their fascination with children. Is this why it seems like the CPS, the Child Protective Services, ends up molesting more kids than everybody else?
I mean, the Child Protective Services is a child trafficking organization. So many children are passed through CPS into pornography rings and into pedophile rings. CPS is not a safe place for children, and children are being kidnapped from their parents, especially parents who are involved in exposing the Illuminati. Those people tend to have their children kidnapped by CPS and abused. This is a very dangerous time on planet Earth to have children. That's what I really feel, because these forces are committed to altering our species the minute we enter this gate. You know, the minute we enter into this dimension through hospital birth, they are standing there ready to harness our souls. And they know how to do it. They know how to traumatize us, severely traumatize us. And they are doing it deliberately in order to alter us and in order to keep our species in a state of mutation. You know, if you look at our species right now, we are the only species that is willing to destroy its host environment. We are the only species that will poison its own water supply or get behind a jet plane and spray chemicals into the atmosphere in the form of chemtrails. We are the only species that is so damaged mentally, spiritually, on every level, that we are willing to destroy that which gives us life. So something has happened to us that would enable us. No other species would do that, and you don't see any other species either that would go out and deliberately torture animals for fun, for sport, the way that our species does. So something... We are not showing up in the way that the Creator had intended us to be. And I always try to remind people that we are using a very small portion of our brain potential and that most of our DNA is dormant. Scientists call it junk. They call it junk DNA. But I want to assure people that the Creator doesn't make mistakes. Our DNA has a purpose. It has a function. It is dormant. It is not junk. It is dormant, and most of our brain is dormant because we have been altered. And something else I think would be useful for people to notice is that we are having a very difficult time accessing human love, authentic experiences of human love. So you see families breaking down everywhere. You see children being abused, incredible amounts of adolescent dysfunction and illness. You know, children are more sick than they have ever been in their lives. We are surrounded by unbelievable amounts of toxicity, and we see parents hurting their children, sexually abusing their children, or physically harming their children. You know, in my own personal case, my parents are aware that I have a sensitivity to chemicals, for example, like pesticides or other things, but it does not prevent them from using these toxic things, even though they are aware that it can do harm to one of their children. So something is wrong. Something is very, very wrong with our species. And I want to say that what is wrong has been a deliberate attack on us to cause us to be this way. You know, I could keep talking, and I will keep talking if you don't stop me.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind. But I was just going to say that, and we'll talk about the Fraud and Death Administration here, the FDA, for a second, since we're all over the place right now. If your product kills somebody immediately, then obviously those go off the shelf. But if somebody uses your product for a few years and then dies, then that's okay, as long as you slap a warning label on it.
Well, if people understood that the Food and Drug Administration was really put into place in order to oversee the chemicals in our food supply and in the pharmaceutical drugs that we're taking, that's really their function, is to oversee the amount of chemicals that we are consuming. And, you know, when you look even deeper at the medical system, for example, in the last 75 to 100 years, things have radically changed in terms of medicine. You know, for centuries, our species has been using what God has provided us in the natural world. So the medicines have basically come through plants or things like homeopathy. So herbs and plants, this kind of medicine is what all indigenous peoples have used for many, many hundreds of thousands of years until the Rockefeller Foundation took over the medical system. And what they did was they gave a whole bunch of money to the medical schools and took over the medical schools and told the medical schools what they were going to be teaching. And basically, when you go to medical school today, you are not learning about healing. Zippo, there's no information about healing. You are learning about how to prescribe neurotoxic chemicals in order to cover up symptoms that people are having, most of which is caused by the overwhelming amount of toxicity that we're exposed to. So when you take chemicals into your body, you are making your toxicity levels worse. And sometimes it's necessary, honestly, because the medical system offers zero benefit toward real healing. If you get cancer, they're going to offer you radiation, which they know causes cancer, what we call slash and burn. They're going to slash you open, cut it out, burn you, or give you extremely poisonous chemotherapy, which will ultimately, it's like assisted euthanasia is what chemotherapy is. So,
well, of course,
we have to understand that the people behind this, the Rockefellers, the Windsor family of England, the Rothschilds, these people have an agenda, right, to control the entire world and its resources. They are Luciferian worshippers. They are practicing Luciferians. They are evil to the core. And they want us dead. Seriously, they have an agenda of depopulation, right? They think there's far too many of us on the planet right now, and that's trouble for them. Because the more of us that are on the planet, the more of us, you know, it's a bigger chance that many of us are going to be awake and put our foot down and say, you know what, you're the ones who have to go. You need to leave. You need to leave the planet. You need to leave this dimension permanently because everything you have brought to this dimension is evil. It is bad. It is dark. It is hurtful. And we are on the brink of annihilation, not just of ourselves, but of all of life, of everything that the Creator has given to us. And it is the fault. I don't want to, you know, put the blame on normal people, all right, who are trying to do the best that they can, because normal people who are involved in poisoning the earth are doing so as a result of mind control and the genetic alteration of our race, of our entire species. So we know that our food is being genetically modified, and there's a big conversation, you know, about genetically modified food. But the fact is we are genetically modified, and that's why our DNA is dormant, and that's why our brain is not functioning properly. And we're being genetically modified through the GMO foods, all right? We're even finding these GMO foods in infant formula. We're being
If it's not bad, we can find melamine as well.
If you read the ingredients in infant formula, most people would vomit to imagine that this is what they're giving to their babies, to newborn babies and to very young children. And I want to just remind people that breast milk that's coming out of a mother's body is living food. It's part of a living universe. It's part of a living person. And it therefore contains consciousness, and it contains a tremendous amount of nutrients and benefits for the baby, provided the mother's not extremely toxic herself, which most mothers are nowadays. But infant formula is dead food, and it has been produced by people that have an evil agenda to alter our species. So it is never, ever, ever a good idea to give an infant formula. And if for some reason women cannot breastfeed their children, they should be seeking human milk banks where they can acquire human milk for their children. But in any event, what I wanted to say before is that GMO foods are part of how we're being altered, okay? Vaccines are a major, major contribution to the mutation of our species. And for people who do not understand what's in a vaccine, I'm going to give you a very brief list of ingredients so that you can begin to contemplate just how severely we are being mutated through these ingredients, okay? Vaccines contain monkey kidney, pig blood, calf serum from baby cows, okay, caterpillar eggs, guinea pig brains, polysorbate 2080, which is a sterilizing agent. They're using vaccines to keep us from reproducing, all right? Mercury, the most, you know, very strong neurotoxin, aluminum, formaldehyde, MSG, aspartame, and I am just scratching the surface. When you and you know what else is vaccines?
I can't pronounce it properly, Janice, but I let's see, it's Cardigum, I think, or car. I don't have it in front of me, but it's basically beaver butt. That's in a lot of ingredients.
Yep. So the other thing that they're doing is they're using aborted human fetal tissue in vaccines. Mm-hmm. So I want people to understand that when you inject the DNA from a baby that's been satanically sacrificed through abortion, that has been murdered by its own mother through abortion, you are going to mutate the DNA of the person that is being injected with that DNA. In the same way, when you inject the DNA from another species into a human being, you're going to mutate the DNA, the genetic structure of the human being. They're injecting this into our bloodstreams directly, in addition to live viruses. All right, so people who received a polio vaccine in the late 1950s or early 1960s were injected with cancer-causing monkey viruses. And so this is why you see a huge proportion of 50-year-olds, 45 to 60, okay, with cancer. Because we have in our bloodstream cancer-causing viruses that are then activated through radiation, which is also now pouring into our atmosphere thanks to Fukushima and to the deliberate strike by the United States government against Japan. That earthquake in Japan was created through HARP. It was deliberately triggered by our evil government. And they've made no attempt whatsoever to contain the nuclear radiation. If you look at Chernobyl, okay, how quickly the Russian government moved to entomb the meltdown, to pour cement all over it, to pour boron all over it, to contain the radiation immediately. The Russian government moved, but that did not happen with Fukushima. This is, you know, 2.5 years later. And the Pacific Ocean, there is so much death being reported. The starfish are melting. The seals are washing up with radiation poisoning. Whales are washing up with radiation poisoning. One study, every single tuna that was caught off the Pacific coast was radioactive. This is on the west coast of the United States. Children born on the west coast of this country and the west coast of Canada and in Hawaii now have a 28% increase, or 28% of them are being born with thyroid problems from the radiation that their mother
was. Right, that's not getting better anytime soon either.
Well, not if we allow, you know, I don't know. The people that are in charge are deliberately doing this. They're deliberately preventing this situation from being healed. And you want to look straight to the people who are behind the United States government, okay, which is the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the family in England, the royal family in England. That's who's controlling this country. That's who's pulling the strings of the United States government. Every single senator just about is useless. It's a mockery of a government. So nuclear radiation is just another one of the myriad things that they are doing to mutate, to genetically alter our species. I'm telling you, this is something we need to understand, that we are genetically altered. Then they're spraying our atmosphere with chemtrails. We're being sprayed with aluminum and barium and strontium and other, you know, fluoride and other seriously toxic chemicals are now in our air.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, mutating us. There's fluoride in our drinking water. There's chemicals in our cleaning products, in our lawn products, in our skin and hair care products, in our perfumes, and our colognes. Every single thing is poison. They're putting mercury in our dental fillings. This is not like all, you know, separate. This is an agenda. This is an agenda to really mess with the human race. Okay, and in addition to the poison, we are being deliberately poisoned on every level. Okay, in addition to the poisoning, we are being controlled through frequencies. Okay, so the frequencies are being blasted at us in an effort to assault our nervous system, to keep our nervous system in a constant state of agitation. So things like HAARP, the High Active Auroral Research Program, which is blasting high frequencies into the ionosphere, high enough to cause earthquakes and other serious weather disturbances, they're harping us on a regular basis. They're blasting frequencies at us through Wi-Fi radiation, right, through cell phone radiation, which is causing brain tumors in people, more dysfunction of the brain, all right, through our computers, through our wireless phones, right? The frequency attack is so, even so basic, if you look at what's going on in the technological world and you think about the planes roaring over our heads, the trains that go clamoring by, the trucks, the weed whackers, the lawn mowers, the generators, the, you know, the blenders that you have in your house. I mean, even the television. The television is a frequency assault, and there's deliberate mind control through the television where they're using harmonics to alter our brain, where they're using mnemonic circles, you know, in the little corner of the TV, they got those spinning circles to put people in a trance, or the larger mnemonic circles where you have numbers, especially if you watch a lot of sports, they use these mnemonic circles where there's numbers coming out of the center, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then they count you back down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, to pull people in and out of a trance and to control their freaking minds. The television is a weapon. Everything I've just said to you, I'm talking about weapons. Weapons of mass destruction being used against our species, being used to alter our capacity to function properly and to communicate with the divine mind, and to recognize our place in creation and who we really are. So I want to explain to people a little bit, okay, about how the brain works, and to stress that the people who are doing this to us know precisely how the brain works, and they know very well how to keep us altered. They know how to mutate us. They're doing a superb job of it. There's a brilliant intelligence behind the dark side. And there's a bigger intelligence behind the world of love. So I don't want people to freak out when they hear this, because this is a lot for people to take in. But we have to get this. We have to know what's going on. So let's just talk about the brain. I'm going to give a very simple overview of how the brain works. And I'm going to say basically that there's three main parts to our brain. Okay, there's the reptilian system, which is the part of our brain that controls our breathing, our blood pressure, our heart rate, our body temperature, all of the things that we don't think about, you know, that keeps the physical body alive, the reptilian brain is in control of. Okay, it's in control of keeping the body alive. That's its job. All right, there's also the limbic system. The limbic system is what separates us from the reptiles in the sense that it provides us with an emotional aspect to our being. It provides us with the capacity to love and nurture our young. And then there's the cortex, which is the highest, what they call the highest part of our brain, the most newly developed part of our brain, which actually would allow us to have direct communication with the divine mind. Okay, the cortex is what would allow us to control our behavior. It's the part of our brain that has language, vocabulary, and can see memories, you know, in terms of pictures and words. And the cortex is also in control of violent impulses, because if you have an impulse to really hurt somebody, okay, the cortex can jump in there and start to think about it rationally, like, should I really hurt this person? Is this a smart thing to do? Okay, so the cortex has a lot of responsibility to keep violent behavior in check. Now, with all the frequency assault that I just talked to you about, that we are under, that keeps our reptilian brain in a constant state of agitation. And what the reptilian brain is thinking or feeling and sensing is that something is endangering the system. Something is endangering the body. And that is the frequency assault. The reptilian brain picks it up immediately. It picks up the fact that there are forces outside of us that want to hurt us and to kill us. The reptilian brain knows all of this. And because it is aware that these evil forces are working to hurt us, it is in a constant state of hypervigilance to threat. And when the reptilian brain is activated that way, which it is constantly, especially if you're living like in a high crime area or something like that, it's even more intense. But when the reptilian brain is overactive that way, the rest of the brain, the other parts of the brain, are not functioning properly. In fact, they're not even developed properly. The reptilian brain is focused on survival. Period. All right? If we want a species that's going to thrive and that's going to have a capacity to really access human love, then we have to be able to calm the reptilian brain down, which is damn near impossible because of the assault that we are under. It's impossible to calm the reptilian brain when you look out your window and you see that they're spraying the sky with chemicals that you know can kill you. And they know this. They know. They are pulling out all the stops right now. Everything that they can do to hurt us, they are doing it. And they're doing it because they know so many of us are now onto their game. And we know. We know what they're doing. We know how they're doing it. and we're telling the whole world how they're doing it. And sooner or later, we're going to find their Achilles heel, which is probably to attack their spiritual power. Because these are occult black magicians. They are diabolically evil beyond anything most people can conceive of. The levels of abuse that they inflict on their own children is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable to most people. The lengths that these people will go to control everything, everything that they can get their hands on. Something else I want to say is that when you have a traumatized, hypervigilant reptilian brain, violence is highly likely. Becoming a human being that's more prone to violence and less has less of a tendency to be empathic toward other human beings, right? All of this is a result of a traumatized reptilian system. All right, the people who are the most traumatized are the people who are the most abusive, generally speaking, who have the least capacity to empathize with other human beings unless they've been able to heal their trauma somehow, unless they've sought to heal their trauma, which can actually change everything if people seek to heal their trauma and find the tools. And there are tools for the healing of the trauma that we've been exposed to. And I haven't even scratched the surface because I want to talk about hospital birth. I want to talk about how these entities are standing right there at the gates as we enter this dimension and deliberately inflicting torture on infants and also on mothers so that they can alter us right from the gate. One thing I forgot to say also is about the reptilian brain. When it's also overstimulated and the system is so afraid for its survival, really being able to access human love in the way that our species was intended to access it is damn near impossible. And I want to share a personal experience. Are you still there with me, Proof?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, because I'm just babbling on and on, aren't I? Have I put
We're going to take a break in about 10 minutes.
All right. Have I put you in a state of shock?
Well, this is stuff we've talked about before, so it's nothing new for me. Our audience is used to it.
Okay. So I wanted to just give a little bit of an example of what I mean when I say human love, okay? I have been married twice in my life, and when I met my second husband, I experienced love, and I had never experienced that before with my first husband or with my parents or ever before in my life. And how I experienced it was that I would look in my second husband's eyes and this flood of, I guess it was a flood of neurochemicals like oxytocin and serotonin and dopamine and all these really juicy, yummy hormones that make us feel good, right? They flooded my system just from looking in my husband's eyes. And this huge expansion happened inside of me. We would just look at each other, and I know the same thing was happening for him because, you know, he would make comments like, oh, my God, I can't believe what I'm feeling, and I can't believe how much I love you, you know? So it's human love is extremely physiological. It's an embodied, it's not like a concept. It's not a mental concept. It's not an idea you have. It's really quite a physical experience that most of us have been denied. And I never felt it until I met him, and I haven't felt it since. So just something to consider. That is our birthright. It should happen the minute that we come out of the womb and we look in the eyes of our mother or our father. All right? If we're born into a gentle environment without interference and without drugs, right? The activation, what I'm going to call the neurobiology of love, should be present at birth in a huge way. But for most of us, it was the opposite. Because of the abuse that we suffered at the hands of the medical system, both our mothers and us, and of course our fathers, who were either standing by watching their partners and their children be violently abused, or who were out in the waiting room somewhere told that, you know, their presence at the birth of their own children wasn't important. So human love is something we have been hugely denied. And if we're denied, you know, this big, huge rush of oxytocin at birth and other hormones of birth, our brain doesn't function properly. Our brain doesn't develop properly. That is absolutely necessary, that download of neurochemicals at birth, for all of our systems to be set, yes, to function at a peak, the way the Creator intended. And so they're very busy trying to interfere with that possibility. They're very busy trying to interfere with the bond between the mother and father, and also between the parents and the child. And I'll go into detail about how they are interfering with that at every step of the birth process, and they're already starting to abuse the baby in the womb through sonograms. In fact, they're already starting to alter us by encouraging young people to have sex in these very vulgar and dysfunctional ways, so that many, many babies are being conceived through loveless sex. And haphazardly. And when parental thought is not part of the conception process, in other words, when two people are having sex just to get off, which is 99.9% of people who are conceiving babies, they're having sex, they're using each other to have a physical experience with no desire to have a baby or to bring forth life. Well, then we are altered right from the get-go. And the dark forces know this. That's why pornography has become so embedded in every aspect of our culture. That's why children are being sexualized. That's why pedophilia is now being normalized.
Right.
Right? Now made pedophilia a sexual orientation like homosexuality. In other words,
right.
They're
yeah,
saying...
Yeah, we've talked about that recently, and after that, then after somehow that's picked up and ran with, we're going to have people getting married to horses, goats, cats, whatever.
Well, having sex with animals is absolutely part of the Luciferian world, and if you talk to people that are born into these families, which I will be doing on my show on Wednesday nights, they will tell you this. Having sex with corpses,
mm-hmm.
animal and human corpses, is part of the Luciferian world. The levels of depravity are, you know, unfathomable. What the people in the highest positions of power around the globe are involved in. And we ought to know. We ought to know how disgusting these people are, and that they're forcing their children into this, also through trauma, extreme satanic trauma, like putting their infants in coffins filled with human blood. Okay, most of this, I've read books by people who were born into these families. And I've also met some of them and talked with them personally. I've interviewed some of them on my other radio shows. So I'm pretty sure that they're telling the truth, because their stories all confirm each other. So yes, pedophilia is being normalized. Pedophilia has become a sexual orientation. The way that these people think is if they can, they have to get the kid before the baby, before the child is 6 or 7 years old at the latest, they have to sexually abuse that child in order to harness the life force of that child, in order to get the soul to split from the body. And these insane people actually believe that if they harness the life force of the children, that it will provide them with immortality. Now, I'm a firm believer that immortality is our birthright, and we have been indoctrinated into a death program that is not part of the original design. But these people are so distorted. They have no concept of the original design, and they actually think they have to siphon off the life force of our children in order to live longer. And so you see some of these very, very evil people.
Blood is going to help them live longer for some reason.
Well, you see some of these evil people, like Queen Elizabeth, for example, or Henry Kissinger, or the Bushes. Right? George Bush Sr. is like, major league evil. But they live for a while. They live for a while when the world would be much better if they would die en masse.
Yeah, they haven't gotten the memo, though, unfortunately.
They are involved in occult rituals that are calling forth demonic forces that they have unleashed across the globe and who they turn to so that they can gain material benefits in the world and so that they can gain a longer life. And it's these demonic entities who are, telling them if you harness the life force of the children, then you'll live longer. And these idiots, they're so gone that they believe it. They believe if they have sex with animals that will also provide some kind of spiritual benefit. If they rape animals or if they sacrifice animals or if they sacrifice human infants. These people are engaged in human sacrifice and in the ingestion of human blood and body parts.
Right.
Yeah. So it's they are gone. Their mental facilities are completely gone. And probably because they have been exposed to so much abuse and torture as children that they're nothing more than biological robots. I often thought that about the junior one. Forgive me for not knowing his name because I was never quite impressed by him. But when you would look at that guy, his eyes, he looked like he wasn't there. And so he was just responding to programming. He's a mind control victim. For those that don't know about mind control, hopefully you guys have covered that at some length before, but just look up MKUltra to learn about trauma-based mind control. Look up the Monarch program. You can Google it. You can come up with pages and, hundreds of thousands of hits on what the United States government has been up to in terms of studying trauma-based mind control and how they can control our minds. In fact, the word govern means to steer, and mente means the mind. So government means to steer the mind, to control the mind. That's what the government is in the business of doing. That's what the CIA is in the business of doing. That's what the FBI is in the business of doing. They're involved in discovering ways that they can alter the way that we think and the way that we function and the way that they can get us to do what they want us to do, even if it violates our own moral value system. And it is extensive.
Hey, we're up against a break right now here, so we're going to take a quick timeout. And when we get back, I'm sure we'll have a whole bunch more stuff to talk about.
We have a lot more to talk about.
All right, so hour number two coming up here. I just need to get my switchboard ready. By the way, did Cheryl train you already on how to use all our equipment here?
She did.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this is a lot easier than what you might have thought. So I'm happy to have you here with us.
Thank you so much.
All right. And, by the way, on the break, since I have a second before it loads, you want to tell everybody your website and how they can read more about you?
My website is birthofanewearth.com. My blog is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. My blog is much more radical than my website. My blog has very important information and tons of it. I also have a YouTube channel, Birth of a New Earth YouTube channel, with lots of my past radio shows and radio interviews and even excerpts from several television shows that I've done. So my YouTube channel is also Birth of a New Earth. And I think that's it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back here in just a few short minutes.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Hello, Freedomist. It's that time of year again. It is Freedomizer's third annual Freedomizer get-together here in Las Vegas. It's going to be over on Charleston and Valley View at Pink Peas. What we're going to do is we're going to have guest speakers galore. We're going to have all the Vegas hosts, including Austin and Lisa, Jerry from Sports Addicts, Cindy Lake, Proof Negative, and more. We'll have vendors. We'll have doTERRA essential oils demos. We're going to learn about Common Core, prepping, GMO foods, and we're going to meet all the other movers and shakers around town. We will have musical performances by Cecilia Satori and David Lee Williams. This will be at Pink Peas over at Charleston and Valley View, Saturday, November 30th, 1 to 8 p.m. See you there.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Exposing the Enemy. I'm your host, Jer. You can catch us on Wednesdays and Friday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific, on FreedomizerRadio.com. You're going to find me, my co-host, Godson Angel, and Dr. Elizabeth McKee, as we bring the news and the Word of God to you. Elizabeth?
Godson Angel and myself discuss Bible prophecy being fulfilled and how to prepare spiritually in these last days.
Not forget to tune in, folks. It's always a good time with us. Call in or join us on a chat. Again, Wednesdays and Friday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com, exposing the enemy.
Lindsey Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
This is Robbie Andrew here. Thanks for listening to Freedomizer Radio. Check out my new show, Robbie's World, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will be discussing topics from civil liberties to current events, conspiracy theories, politics, philosophy, science, meditation, basically everything under the sun. Please listen and call in. Robbie's World, Tuesdays, 7 p.m., 4 p.m. Pacific, only on freedomizerradio.com.
All right, guys, we are back. Proof is here. And we have our host, of course, Janice Barcello is with us. Go ahead and take it away.
Okay. Well, I just want to do a little drop-in about mind control before we go into the birth stuff, okay, so that people can get a sense about the various ways that we're being mind controlled. So very briefly, I talked about television. And television is definitely a weapon of mind control, and I have done several radio shows about that topic for people that are interested. You could find them on my YouTube channel, at Birth of a New Earth. Also, we should be looking at the public education system and the fact that our children are being taught how to become drones in a machine. Yes, but not really how to become who they are or who they were intended to be. So the public education system is definitely part of the mind control process. Religion is huge. Religion, I mean, basically we have, in this country, most people are either Jewish or some form of Christian. These people are being taught to believe in a God that is basically a psychopath. They're being taught to worship a God that is super into human sacrifice because he's, you know, always telling people to steal the animals and sacrifice them to him and to sacrifice their firstborn children and to, he's even willing to sacrifice his own son in a very satanic way. He's all about telling his people to go and steal their land, you know, steal those people's land, take their women and children as booty, offer up all their animals as sacrifices to me. And the God of the Bible, I want to stress, is not the creator. He is an imposter, and he is a demonic psychopath. And people are worshiping this demonic psychopath. And in the case of the Jewish tradition, the Jewish tradition has a long history of human sacrifice. The Jewish people are still very involved in animal sacrifice. And even if you look at things like circumcision, and in the Jewish tradition, we'll talk about this a little bit more down the road here, but in the Jewish tradition, after they slice open the penis of an infant, the rabbi sucks the blood of the mutilated penis, and this is part of the tradition. In the Catholic tradition, there are people putting symbols of human sacrifice around their necks, over their beds, in their windows. They are going to church and symbolically eating and drinking the body parts and the blood of a sacrificed man. And we have very clear satanic elements in this religious tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition. What it is a form of mind control. The Vatican is the belly of the beast, is involved in child torture, child sacrifice, child trafficking. We're talking about evil, 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 and people are worshiping it. So that's another form of mind control. The music industry is also a huge piece of this, where you have people like Madonna performing rituals, satanic rituals, at the Super Bowl on TV, so that everybody, that is the millions of people that are tuned in to that kind of smut, are also engaged in activating the satanic forces by watching the satanic ritual. And the same thing, you know, at the Olympics that happened in the UK this year, the opening ceremony was a huge satanic ritual, complete with children in hospital beds, terrified children in hospital beds, demons flying through the sky. Unbelievable how blatant and in our face the satanic rituals have become through the music industry and through the media. So most of the people in pop music, like Miley Cyrus and Madonna, are MKUltra victims. They are victims of trauma-based mind control. And they do sell their souls, and many of the pop stars talk about it in their music, that they have sold their soul to the devil. And that is what gets them into a place of power in the music industry. So something we should be aware of, because many young children are being brought up right now in the satanic underworld through the music industry and through watching television, where satanic images are flashed across the screen constantly. So images of corpses, of death, of people murdering each other, of blood, of terror, of destruction. These are all satanic images, and they are all part of programming the minds of our children. Even Disney, you know, if you watch, there's a little segment on YouTube called Disney Planes Take Off, okay? And in the little three-minute segment, you see the Disney planes spraying chemtrails in the sky, spraying the GMO crops with the pesticides. This is mind control for our children, preparing them for the satanic New World Order and making what is absolutely vile and disgusting seem normal. Okay. Another primary means of mind control in this culture is pharmaceutical drugs. And anybody, you know, most people would understand that if you are taking antidepressants, for example, something is altering your mind, and that is the purpose of many of these drugs that they're putting our children on, like Ritalin, which alters the functioning of the brain. It alters the functioning of the nervous system. It alters the functioning of the mind. Pharmaceutical drugs are a primary means by which we are unable to think clearly and by which we are losing our minds. And many are becoming, you know, Alzheimer's victims or dementia victims. Of course, the chemicals that they're spraying in the sky, the aluminum, are also contributing, I think, to the high levels of Alzheimer's disease, because aluminum does cause Alzheimer's. There's also fluoride in our drinking water, and fluoride is for the purpose of creating docile human beings who aren't thinking clearly. They have talked about putting lithium in our drinking water. They have sprayed lithium in the chemtrails, and people are breathing it in. The chemtrails are a huge piece of mind control, and also the frequency control that I talked about earlier with the HARP and the cell phone radiation and the cell phone towers and all of that. So we have mind control happening. It's coming in from every angle. And we have trauma-based mind control happening. And just so people understand that with trauma-based mind control, children, very young children, are being very methodically and systematically tortured and terrorized. And the reason for this torture and terror against the children is to get them to disassociate, which means to get the soul to leave the body. All right, when a child is exposed to extreme and repeated forms of physical torture, forget the mental torture for a while, when the pain of what they're being exposed to is so great physically, many children disassociate. Okay, this is what's happening in circumcision. When you strap an infant baby boy to a board, and these boards are specifically made for an infant's body, The little arms fit in the board. The little legs fit in the board. There's straps. They strap the infant down to the board so the infant can't use its arms or its legs. Sometimes they will shove a pacifier in the infant's mouth so that you can't hear the baby's screams. The baby is choking on his own screams. And then you systematically crush the glands of the penis, rip the glands from the head of the penis, and cut it off. Cut off the foreskin, all without anesthesia, and usually done before the infant is 8 days old. And if anybody's ever watched a video of a circumcision, it's clear to see that the infants will scream, making sounds the likes of which you have never, and hopefully will never, ever have to hear. And then at some point, the infant will stop crying, which means the infant has gone into shock. So you'll see a blank, the eyes kind of glaze over, the heart rate, you know, goes almost on still. All systems go on stillness in order that the body can survive the assault. This is ritual, sexual torture being inflicted on a huge number of infant boys in the United States every day. So disassociation, what we call parasympathetic shock. Okay, let me say, in nature, an animal can either flee or fight or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with an infant. An infant strapped to a board cannot flee. He can't fight. His only neurological option is to freeze, is to disassociate, is for the spirit to leave the body and the body and the reptilian brain to do whatever it can to keep that body alive. Approximately one infant dies every other day in the United States as a result of circumcision, which is a completely medically unnecessary surgery and has no benefits, none. Circumcised men have higher rates of HIV. Circumcised men have extremely high rates of sexual dysfunction, of impotence, of erectile dysfunction. Circumcised men have what they call a personality trait disorder called alexithymia. Alexithymia means basically it's difficult for men who have been circumcised to empathize with other people's emotions. Normally, that's because they have disassociated completely. Whenever there's a situation that causes stress in the body, the neurology goes into a pattern which initially saved the life of the child. So the body says, oh, we have a situation right now that's dangerous. We'll go into parasympathetic shock, and we know that we can stay alive if we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for circumcised men to hold space for the intense emotions of life, and especially for other people's intense emotions. Nobody was there for that baby when that baby was tortured that way. The mother and the father betrayed that baby on a grand scale by handing the baby over to ritual abusers. This is serial abuse that's happening in hospitals every day. And it's probably the most severe thing that's happening in hospitals, but there's many other things happening in hospitals. And the reason I brought this up is because we have to understand that disassociation is the goal of the people who are inflicting the trauma on the infants. They want these children to disassociate. They want the psyche to shatter. They want the cognitive functioning of these children to be altered. and for the soul to split from the body, because then that body can be taken over by an entity that's not of love, and sometimes by several entities. And so you see people who've been exposed to repetitive torture like circumcision. These children are sexually tortured repeatedly, who grow up in the Luciferian and satanic families. All right, their psyches shatter and they develop multiple personality disorder. And there are many different entities that move through their body. And you can have a situation with multiple personality disorder that's caused by trauma-based mind control, where one personality will step forward and assassinate President Kennedy, for example. But the rest of the personalities don't know that the assassination happened. There's compartments that are, it's like a little honeycomb, like a beehive, how the brain is compartmentalized into different personalities. And it's done. I mean, they know how to do this. It's done through very well-planned, well-thought-out ritual abuse. And I want to say that even if you have undergone what I'll call light trauma-based mind control, like circumcision, okay, what's going to happen to a baby boy is that from the moment that he is tortured that way and that he has the experience of being betrayed by his parents, some part of his innocence, of his gentleness, of his capacity for love and kindness is going to have to step back, okay? And a different aspect of himself is going to have to step forward, the part of the self that can deal with the torture and that can deal with the abuse, a hardened part of the personality. And I think we see this a lot in the United States, and I want to stress that the United States is pretty much the only hospital, the only place besides Israel where circumcision is happening on a regular basis and where so few parents are asking questions about this procedure and handing their children over for it. And even in my own family, you know, they screwed it up the first time in my half-sister's little boy, and she sent her kid back for more.
Oh, wow.
For a second assault. People are handing their children over to genital mutilators without questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
They're also walking into hospitals to give birth without questioning what they're walking into. So let's talk about that. Are there any questions or comments you want to make about anything I've just shared?
No, go ahead. I was just going to say with the with doctor that they don't even ask to see what's in the vaccinations. They just blindly take them, regardless of whether or not you believe in vaccines is one thing. I'm talking about even asking what's in the vaccine. So people are just blindly taking them.
That's right. And the word believe is an interesting word because it's based on no facts. It's based on no information. People believe in vaccines. Well, what the hell are you doing? Why don't you ask questions? You believe in vaccines, your kid comes out autistic or dead. You know how many children are dying?
The vaccine.
From the vaccines. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents are too mind control, they are under a severe form of mind control that prevents them from asking very basic questions and from even doing any little thing to protect their children. It's like they are biological robots, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wakey-wakey time, folks, because we have to protect the children. That's the bottom line with this stuff. Is it's time to protect the children, and the trauma that's being inflicted on the children is being deliberately done so that they can influence the way that we perceive reality, the way that we create reality. Okay, the brain is decoding reality. When you mess with the functioning of the brain, you are messing with that person's capacity to decode reality in the way that person should be able to. You are creating a narrow, little amount of the reality field that that person can decode. And they're doing it through trauma. They are stunting our entire decoding system. If we think about it like a computer. All right, let's talk about hospitals. How much time do I have to go through this?
Well, you're my only guest today, and I have about – why don't we do this? If we're going to start a new topic, I'll just take our commercial about 90 seconds early, and
okay.
We'll come back and we'll just hit it hard.
Okay, cool.
All right, of course, you're on the Proof Negative Show. Janice Barcelo is our guest, as well as one of our new co-hosts here, so we're letting her address herself with you guys, so hopefully you guys can find her starting this Wednesday. Here on Freedomizer Radio. Be right back.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Seems things are happening so fast now. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be with your audience and with you tonight. Everyone out there in your listening audience, they should listen to you every single day. Don't you miss a program. Lord bless. Everybody set that spiritual house in order. It's the most important thing out there. Thank you and good night.
Elohim's servant, Emmanuel, on Freedomizer Radio's Sound Doctrine Ministries. I hear you're playing in our image. So what? They can hear of my divine scheme. Me, Halel, like it will stop me somehow. Do you think you have the power through Elohim, you servant of his? Well, do you? I said, do you? Do you? Don't even try to match wits with me.
Praise the Lord. Join us in our image Sunday mornings on the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, and we will see. Blessing and peace to your home.
Welcome, Freedomizers. This is Juan Hicks of Juan's Media Matrix. Be sure to tune into my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. From time to time, I'll be featuring special guest interviews along with the latest news headlines from around the world. You're always welcome to call into the show by dialing 347-324-3704 and pressing 1. Otherwise, you can listen to the latest show in progress. Be sure to join us also at www.freedomizerradio.com on your computer or tablet, where you can interact with our listeners in the chat room as well as comment on the show. We also have a large variety of shows throughout the broadcast day at www.freedomizerradio.com, each with its own unique host covering a wide range of topics to keep you informed on issues that the mainstream media refuses to touch. Once again, that's www.freedomizerradio.com. Or you can listen by phone by calling 347-324-3704. Be sure to tune in.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade the Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We let the Russians know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state. But instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, and on that note, we're back. Proof is here. We're right at the halfway mark of the show here, and Janice Barcello is our guest. We've been talking about all kinds of different New World Order, what they're into and things like that. So I'm going to give Janice back the floor. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. I want to start talking about the birth procedure, the birth protocols that are happening in hospitals, but I should probably start by just alerting people to what passes for prenatal care in our culture right now. And basically what I want to say is that sonograms are a way of blasting sound frequencies at the fetus in order to alter the functioning of the fetal brain and the nervous system. And parents are foolish enough to allow their babies in the womb to be exposed to these sonograms. I should remind you that when the Navy blasts those sound frequencies into the ocean, dolphins and whales beach themselves with brain hemorrhages. So we know that these frequencies are very dangerous. We know that our children are being altered as a result of these frequencies, and we should seek to avoid our children being exposed to them when they're, especially when they're in the womb. And I'm just blown away because even midwives are asking their clients to sometimes have 5 or 6 sonograms in one pregnancy, you know? It's really, really dangerous and insane. And if people are interested to find research about the damage that the sonograms are doing, please go to my blog at birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. There's even an article there that talks about sonogram as a method of mind control. So plenty of information. Yes. Check out my blog. Type in sonogram or ultrasound and mind control. The article will come up, and you'll see that that is part of the original intention for the sonograms. Okay, so that's enough said about prenatal life. There's a lot there. There's a lot of trauma happening to babies in the womb, especially babies who are conceived haphazardly and who are not wanted. And especially if the mother is considering murdering her baby through abortion. Children are growing up with extreme dysfunction because of what's happened to them in the womb. Usually, if they're traumatized in the womb, they're also going to be severely traumatized at birth. And we should, you know, alert people that 95% of American hospital births are considered traumatic, and half of those are considered severely traumatic, and the other half are considered moderately traumatic. Now, if we were in our right minds, which we're not, If we were, we would say to ourselves, now let me think about this. Hospitals are places of disease, extreme toxicity, death, and severe trauma. That's what's going on in hospitals. Now, why would I consider giving birth to my baby in an environment of disease, toxicity, death, and trauma? Unless I wanted to introduce my baby to a satanic underworld where all of those things are quite normal. But since we're not thinking clearly, and since we are stupid enough to turn the television on and allow ourselves to be programmed, we watch those programs, and the programs tell us hospitals are the safest place to give birth. If you don't give birth in hospitals, then you are endangering the life of your child. When just right. The opposite is true. Just the opposite is true. The United States has one of the highest rates of infant and maternal mortality in the world. In the world. Women and babies are dying in droves in American hospitals. There is no more dangerous place for a woman to give birth than an American hospital. And that's also on my blog. If you want to type in maternal mortality or infant mortality, you will get the information about what is going on in this country and get the freaking truth instead of the lies that are being pumped through the media so that they can control your mind. Because remember, right, the same people that are involved in the Luciferian tradition are also owning the media. They control the news. They control the programming, and it is programming. It is mind control programming. Okay, so now the mind controlled parents walk into a hospital. Oh, I'm going to have a baby. Here they are at home. They're doing fine until they get to the hospital. As soon as the mother gets to the hospital, right, the reptilian brain goes, danger. Danger, not safe. This place is not safe. The reptilian brain smells the toxicity, smells the chemicals, right? The system just goes, this place, the reptilian brain senses the death, senses the trauma, senses everything, and it remembers. It remembers if that mother and the father, if either one of them was born in a hospital, right, the reptilian brain in their bodies is going to remember the danger that they were exposed to during their own births. And so both the mother and the father are going to lock up in fear. And in the case of the mother, if the body freezes in fear, guess what happens? Right? The labor is going to stall. The labor is going to slow down as soon as she gets to the hospital. The reptilian brain is in charge of birth. Okay, birth is a very primal, primitive process. And if the reptilian brain picks up anything that says that this is not safe, that is going to slow the birth down and maybe even stop it. And the last thing you want to do in a birth process is to be talking to the mother, you know, activating her cortex or having her watch TV or having her listen to the beeping sounds of scary machines. All right, this is not good. None of that is beneficial for a birth process. In fact, it's going to harm the birth process. What women need to give birth is a nice, quiet, safe, totally safe, totally nurturing, non-mental environment. They cannot be talking. Certainly not when they're in transition or in the final stages of labor. You do not want them to use their cortex. You want to let the reptilian brain do its thing so that the birth can happen like a song. But this is impossible in a hospital because the mental stimulation, the bright lights, the freezing cold temperatures, right, all these insane people wearing their satanic masks and gowns, because these people are, you know, throwing the women on the satanic altar of C-sections, chopping baby body parts off and stuff like this, right? These are satanic rituals happening in hospitals. Absolutely, absolutely. You don't want mothers to be exposed to this kind of stuff. But here she is, because she's mind-controlled. Because she's been born in a hospital, her husband's been born in a hospital, they don't know anything else, their bodies are now going to walk into the hospital and repeat the trauma that they've experienced. Except when the trauma is inflicted on their child, it's going to escalate. It's going to be worse than what happened to them when they were born. So here they are. They're going to go into the hospital. Maybe even before they go to the hospital, their midwife or their doctor is going to say to the mother, look, we've done all these prenatal tests, and your baby's head is too big for your pelvis. We have to induce. Or they're going to say, look, we've done all these tests, and there's not enough fluid in your womb, and we have to induce. Or your placenta is aging, which is a bunch of, it's just nonsense. Your placenta is aging, and we have to induce. Induction means we are going to force your baby to come out of the womb before your baby's ready, or we're going to force your body to open. Even when your body is clearly indicating this is not a safe place to give birth and I am not ready to give birth, we're going to force it with artificial drugs, and if we have to, we'll cut your baby out of your womb. So we know in the United States, 1 in 3 women is now allowing her birth to be induced. That means 1 in 3 babies is being forced to come before it's ready, which means, see, there's a very primal imprint that's going to happen. In a natural birth, babies actually signal the mother's body that they're ready to be born. And then the mother's body starts producing the hormones of birth. So babies are in charge of their birth, of when they're going to be born. But that is now being stolen by the medical system. So babies are getting the immediate feeling that there's something outside of themselves that's controlling their destiny. And it's clear to the babies that that something is not loving. And it's also, babies can confuse that something with God, when in reality it is God's opposite. It is not God that's going to induce that baby, because God would never, ever want to interfere with the process which has been perfected for millennia. It is only impotent dark forces who thrive on disrupting everything that the Creator created, including the birth process. Okay, so here's the woman go, okay, I'll let myself be induced. Now, if you're going to be induced, several things are going to happen. You are going to receive a drug called Pitocin. Let me say a couple other things before I talk about Pitocin. All right, you're going to be given a drug called Cytotec. Cytotec is what they call, is used to do what they call ripening the cervix, to make the cervix soft and mushy so that the baby can just fall out. Now, Cytotec is an ulcer drug. It's being used off-label every day in hospitals in the United States. It is causing severe problems, including death for babies and mothers. Because what Cytotec does is it causes extreme uterine contractions that cause extreme distress in the baby that can actually kill the baby, or it can cause uterine ruptures. Literally, the mother's rupture just bursts from the intensity of the contractions. And it can cause amniotic fluid embolism, where the amniotic fluid, of course, the sac bursts from the intensity of contractions, and somehow the amniotic fluid gets into the mother's bloodstream, races to her heart, and kills her instantly. Cytotec is an extremely dangerous drug, and there's websites cropping up all over about women and children that have been harmed through Cytotec, but they have not stopped using it. You're also going to be exposed to something in an induction called an amniotomy, or the breaking of the waters. Now, babies in the womb are in this beautiful watery sac, and that it's like an oceanic sac, and that watery sac is actually very protective of the baby from the intensity of contractions. It's like padding, okay? But since the objective here is to maximize trauma and to inflict physical harm on mothers and babies, and I'm telling you that that's the agenda. There's no doubt when you hear the rest of what I'm going to say. We are going to break the water. We're going to pretend that this is going to speed up labor, but there's no evidence to indicate that anything happens faster. What we do know happens when you break the water is that contractions become severely intense and babies go into distress. Naturally, because that sac of water should be protecting them from the contractions, and that has now been taken away from them. In addition, mothers are going to be given a drug called Pitocin, P-I-T-O-C-I-N. Pitocin is artificial oxytocin. It's synthetic chemical oxytocin. Now, I want people to understand that natural oxytocin is the hormone of human love and well-being. Natural oxytocin is the hormone that allows for a mother and baby to bond. It is the hormone that allows for the letdown of the breast milk. It is the hormone that provides healthy contractions. Now, when you inject a laboring mother with synthetic oxytocin, it's going to trick her brain, you see, and her body will not really be producing the real thing. And when you interrupt the mother from producing natural oxytocin, you are therefore interrupting her capacity to love her baby, to bond with her baby, and to feed her baby. And when the mother is not producing natural oxytocin, and the baby is therefore not receiving natural oxytocin, the functioning of the baby's brain will also be altered. And so that baby's ability to produce natural oxytocin throughout its life will be undermined because of this extremely toxic drug. Pitocin is also a drug that causes absurdly intense contractions. So in a natural birth, I want to stress that a mother's body, when she goes into a contraction, the contraction will build, it will peak for like 20 seconds, it will ease off, and then the body will rest. And then another contraction will come, it will build, it will peak for 20 seconds, it will ease off, and the body will rest. With Pitocin, there's no such thing as rest between contractions. The contractions come one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. It's like the uterus is turned into a trash compactor instead of a birth canal. Okay, so now we have a baby whose water has been broken, all right, who is receiving Pitocin contractions. So the mother's going to be begging for an epidural because she can't take the pain. Imagine what the baby's going to be feeling. Okay, in addition to the fact that with induction, mothers are going to be put on a fetal heart monitor. They're going to have continuous fetal heart monitoring, and very often that is going to be an internal fetal heart monitor, which is literally screwed into the baby's skull. So these sadists will take a probe that has a little screw on the end of it. They will insert their hands and their arms into the vagina of a laboring woman through the cervix and literally screw this probe into the baby's skull. Now, with the intensity of the contractions, you can imagine that every time a contraction comes, that screw is going to be tugging and pulling at the baby's skull, creating intense pain, in addition to the intense pain of contractions. Children who are exposed to the internal fetal heart monitor have bruises on their head for months after their birth, and many of them cannot stand having their head touched throughout their life. In addition, you should know, and we should all know, that that soft spot in the baby's head is a place where the baby would otherwise be receiving a download of information from the divine mind as it's making its transition from one dimension into the next. But that transmission is not going to be happening because of the intense amount of pain that the baby is going to be experiencing. Now, the fetal heart monitor is necessary because they know that Pitocin causes fetal distress. They absolutely know. And in fact, there is a protocol called PIT to Distress, where the doctors will give the nurse an order to PIT to distress, which means give that mother so much Pitocin that we will deliberately put the baby in distress so that we can move more quickly to a C-section. We can say, oh, look, your baby's in distress. We have to C-section your baby out. And nurses are blogging about it, and I have those nurses' blogs on my blog for people that are interested to read about the sadists and how they operate. And maybe they need to get to a golf game or, I don't know, some kind of family outing, and they just need to get the heck out of there. So they want to move quickly to a C-section, and Pitocin is almost a guarantee. Let me put it this way, folks. If you let yourself be induced, you have a 75% chance that your baby is going to be cut out of your body through a C-section. 75%. So you do not want to let your baby be induced. And you do not want to allow them to give you Pitocin ever at any time during the birth process. And they're very clever, because if they can't give it to you during birth, okay, then they're going to say, we just need to give you a little bit for the third stage of labor to get that placenta out more quickly. But don't do it, because it's going to interfere with your capacity to bond with your baby. That is the point. It's going to undermine oxytocin. And they know it. They know what they're doing. And, you know, half of us are walking around with parents that we cannot connect with who really don't love us. You know, it's this really bizarre sort of love that has no depth to it, the way human love really should be. And that's because we were screwed from birth. And if you allow Pitocin to happen, this is for all the moms out there, you know, when you sign you're going to be asking for the epidural, all right? The epidural is a local anesthetic that they put in through your spine to numb the bottom half of your body, and you're going to be begging for anesthetic with Pitocin because the contractions are extremely intense. But if you sign that epidural consent form, there's a few things they're going to forget to mention to you about the real side effects of epidural. So I'll go ahead and mention them to you so that you are aware. Forgive me, I'm very strong in my presentation of this information because I want people to get it, to snap out of the mind control and get what we're being subjected to and what's happening to us and our families as a result. Epidural is also going to trick the brain. In a natural birth, the brain is going to be producing opiates, all kinds of delicious opiates to make the birth process pleasurable. For people that don't believe in pleasurable birth, the Creator, despite what it says in the Bible, where we're dealing with a psychopathic God, the real Creator, okay, is all about bringing forth life. If you look in the natural world, no matter how much poison we pour over it or how much cement we pour on our earth to prevent the earth from breathing, okay, in between the cracks, life comes. Okay, every season, right, even after winter, life comes. Life regenerates itself because bringing forth life is what the Creator is all about. And the Creator has no interest in making what is so important to him difficult for people. No other species in the entire world suffers through childbirth. If you look at your cat giving birth, watch how easily animals give birth unless they're in captivity, which we are. Okay, it is because of our captivity. It is because of the environment in which we're giving birth. It is because of the amount of unconscious trauma that we are holding from our own births. This is what makes birth painful. And also, when you try giving birth to a baby you don't want, it's not going to feel good for the baby or yourself. So it's our fault. All right, it's what we're doing that's causing pain in childbirth. This is not the Creator's design. And there are many, many women who are experiencing orgasms in labor, extreme pleasure, extreme bliss, and the highest levels of human love imaginable. And it's all on videos. And you can go to YouTube and you can watch one after another of ecstatic births. And that, my friends, is the design. All right, but now you're in a hospital, it's pretty much too late. As soon as you walk in there, you're doomed. I'm sorry, folks, but you're not going to have the birth that you should. Even in a birth without drugs, all right, they're still going to hurt your baby. And we'll talk about this in a few minutes. So here we're at the epidural. Okay, we're having the epidural because the pain is so ridiculous because of the Pitocin. And because of all the fear, because the body has locked up. Now, in a natural birth, I was saying opiates are going to be produced to make the birth pleasurable. But when you have an epidural, it's going to trick the brain, because the brain is going to say, "Up, there's nothing happening now. I don't need to produce the natural opiates of birth because there's nothing going on. There's no sensation. You know, there's nothing happening." So none of the opiates of birth are going to be produced. So even though the mother is not feeling any pain because she's numb, the baby's going to feel twice as much pain because the baby needs those opiates. Also, the birth is not just for the mother. This is the baby's birth. It's not just about the mother's experience. We have a culture of mothers that are so self-absorbed that they think the birth is all about them and their process and what's going to happen for them. But there's another person, and there's two other people that are deeply involved in this process. The baby is a primary one, and of course the father, who, by the way, is also going to be severely traumatized by watching what is happening to his partner and his baby. Also with the epidural, the baby's going to have twice as much pain, not just physically but emotionally, because the baby is going to be completely abandoned by the mother. Now, when a mother has an epidural, see, women, when they give birth, they need to be able to feel what's going on in their body. They need to be able to stand up. They need to be able to spiral their hips, you know, to open up their pelvis. They need to be able to squat or get on all fours or lift one of their legs up on a bed or something, you know, just to open up their pelvis to help their baby come through. They need to be present to help their baby come through that birth canal. But with an epidural, they're not even going to feel anything. They can't even roll over by themselves, right? Other people have to roll them over from side to side. They can't get out of bed. They can't walk. They can't do anything. They're going to be on their back or on their side. As soon as they lay down, the pelvis is going to narrow. That's going to make it much harder for the baby to come through. It's also going to cut off the blood circulation and therefore the oxygen supply to the baby, which is going to cause brain damage and fetal distress. Guaranteed. You want to know why our brains are not functioning properly? Look to what's happening at birth. So I'm sure in the epidural consent form, they're not telling you what I just told you about epidurals, but it's a fact. And it's a fact that the baby's going to feel abandoned, and the baby is going to have to birth itself on its own. We're leaving these babies alone at the gate and, you know, against unbelievable odds, because here's the Pitocin contractions. Boom, boom, boom. Mother's on her back. She's not even, you know, able to help at all, right? The baby's got to come out against gravity with a bloody fetal heart monitor pulling at its skull. Come on, people. It's bad. Okay, let's say the baby actually... Most of the time, the baby's going to have to be pulled out through a C-section. As I said, 75% if you're induced, and at least 35% if you're not induced. All right, 35% of births in this country end up with a C-section. That's more than one-third of women in this country who are undergoing major surgery to have their baby ripped out of their womb. And I want to say that there's some serious long-term psychological and spiritual consequences for the mother and the baby if a C-section happens. C-section is major trauma. And there will be very little capacity for that mother to bond with her baby after birth. Number one, she's going to be under anesthesia, and if she's just under local anesthesia, like epidural, all right, she's still going to be in a crisis, because most C-sections are happening in a crisis energy. And when crisis is part of the birth process, then the hormones are going to include adrenaline, noradrenaline, norepinephrine, all cortisol, right? All the hormones of stress are going to be pouring into the mother's body and into the baby's body. All right, this is not an environment in which oxytocin, serotonin, dopamines, beta endorphins, and opiates can be produced. On the contrary, the opposite is going to be happening for the mother and the baby, which means they're going to have a very hard time connecting. And I'm telling you that birth, what happens at the moment of birth when that baby comes out of the womb, is so important for the long-term health and well-being of the baby and of the relationship between the mother and the baby and the father if he is present. And if anything interferes with love happening at birth, it's very likely that family is going to break apart over time. Birth has the potential to keep a family together forever if it's love, filled with love, or to break a family down over time if it's traumatic. And if birth happens in a hospital, it's almost always traumatic. All right, also, a baby, when it comes through the birth canal, can have a major victory at finding its way. You know, the babies twist and they turn and they move and they have to go through this whole process to come and have that victory of birth, which is stolen from them in a C-section. Absolutely stolen. And they can have an imprint growing up and throughout life which says, you know, no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to do it. Somebody out there has to save me. Somebody out there has to do it for me. I just, you know, no matter what I do, I can't do it right. No matter how hard I try, nothing happens. So the imprints are very severe in addition to the lack of bonding. The psychological imprints are very severe, as are the health effects. Because as you come through the birth canal, those contractions are pumping up your lungs, getting your lungs ready to breathe. There's all sorts of bacteria that the baby is exposed to that help the baby develop a strong immune system. There's a whole process that helps the nervous system activate through the contractions. You know, there's a beautiful story. My friend Elena Tonetti, who has an amazing film called Birth as We Know It, I recommend if people want to understand what ecstatic birth looks like, what birth should be like, get the film Birth as We Know It. And Elena Tonetti is the creator of that film, and there's a website called Birth as We Know It, and you can get the film there. But she tells a story about butterflies, yes, how these children were watching a butterfly come out of a cocoon, and they were watching that butterfly, you know, pump its wings and try to open up the hole in the cocoon to emerge. And it was work for the butterfly to do that. So the next time the children saw a butterfly trying to come out of the cocoon, they just sliced the cocoon open to make it easier for the butterfly to get out. But the butterfly never could fly because there was something about the butterfly pumping its wings in that process that allowed for that butterfly to fly. And a similar thing is happening with the birth process. When you cut a baby out, you are interfering with the well-being of that child and with the well-being of that family. And one out of three babies, at the very least, has now been cut out of the womb. And in New York City, it's one in two in some hospitals. More than 50% C-section rate. And I got to tell you that women who give birth naturally, they can get up and they're ready to go. You know, it's very easy to just go on with your life after you give birth. It's not a big deal at all. With a C-section, it could take months for that woman to feel good again. And unless she deals with the C-section trauma, she may never feel good again. Postpartum depression is extremely common because of the trauma of birth. And postpartum depression is exactly this, folks, okay? If the neurobiology does not activate at birth because bonding has been interfered with or undermined, okay, then the neurobiology of grief activates instead, because if you can't bond with your baby, your body thinks your baby is dead. And it produces the hormones of grief. And that's postpartum depression. It is not natural, and it is not part of the divine plan. I also want to say one more thing about C-section, and that is that I have been reading story after story after story of women who are being cut open before the anesthesia takes hold. So they're being ritually tortured. Okay, and the torture is also happening, as I spoke of earlier, through circumcision. It's also happening through episiotomy, which involves the slicing open of the perineum. There is no benefit to slicing open the perineum, and in fact, it causes major tearing. Major tearing, and because the women instinctively know they are being sexually violated and ritually tortured through episiotomy, it takes a very long time to heal an episiotomy. Whereas if you tear, if you have a natural tear, it will heal very quickly, usually within a week or two. But an episiotomy, it doesn't heal. And women are dying, okay, from flesh-eating bacteria in hospitals because of unnecessary episiotomies. And babies are dying from hemorrhaging, from circumcision, from infections, from having heart attacks on the freaking, what they call an operating table. But it's nothing less than a satanic altar. Sexual abuse and sexual violation are rampant in hospitals. Episiotomy, circumcision are part of it. Repeated vaginal exams where women go in, you know, are in a hospital room, and they can have strangers coming in and out of the room sticking their hands in the woman's vagina. You got doctors, midwives, nurses, medical students. Sometimes you got a whole friggin' audience. This is rape. This is rape. Nobody's hand belongs in a woman's vagina when she's in labor. There is no benefit. It'll only cause infection, and it doesn't matter how far the cervix is dilated. It's not going to speed up the process anymore if you say to a woman, oh, you're only 4 centimeters dilated. You're going to make it worse. So keep your damn hands out of her vagina. Okay, they're also sexually abusing babies orally through suctioning, where they shove these tubes down the baby's throat and down the baby's nose repeatedly, and especially they do this in neonatal intensive care units. They are orally raping babies. Circumcision is one part. There's much, much, much going on. All right? Okay, so now the baby's born. And I'll try to be quick because there's so much to cover, and I'm kind of scratching the surface here. Now that the baby's born, okay, what's going to happen within the first 3 minutes usually is they're going to clamp and cut the umbilical cord, which is an incredibly violent and abusive thing to do to an infant. The reason is when the baby is born, babies are not breathing in the womb. They are receiving all of their oxygen through the blood that's pumping through the placenta, through the umbilical cord to the baby. So all their oxygen supply, all their nutrients, everything's being met through that blood. And when they're born, they're not breathing either because they don't need to. You could have a baby born underwater, and that baby could be underwater for 5 minutes without taking a breath, and it's fine. It's totally fine because all the oxygen it needs is coming through that pumping umbilical cord filled with blood. That blood in the umbilical cord is one-third of the baby's blood supply. It contains nutrients for the baby's immune system, and it contains oxygen. Also, it contains beneficial nutrients for the nervous system. So what are they doing? They're cutting off the baby's blood supply. They're cutting off the baby's oxygen supply. They're cutting off the baby's connection to its placenta, which is extremely spiritually deep. Okay, the placenta will break down its own body in order to feed that baby. If that baby is undernourished, the placenta will begin to break its body down so that the baby can receive all the nourishment that it needs. Indigenous cultures understood the placenta is like a guardian angel or a spiritual twin for the baby, and there's a deep spiritual bond. And places like Bali, right, fathers have very strict protocols they have to follow in order to protect their baby's placenta an umbilical cord, because they know if the wrong people get their hands on it, then their baby can be influenced by negative spirits throughout its life. The placenta has very strong spiritual connection to the baby. We know that children who are born through lotus birth, which means the parents do not cut the umbilical cord at all, they keep the baby attached to the umbilical cord, which is attached to the placenta, until the umbilical cord dries up and falls off 3, 5, 7 days later. And we know that in a lotus birth, when a baby is nursing, the placenta is pulsing. The placenta is still responding to the baby getting all the nourishment that it needs. It's still alive, and it still has a connection to the baby 5 days after birth. So it's a deep connection, and we have no right to cut it off. And in light of the fact that we know, I absolutely, unequivocally can say to you that the hospital system is a satanic-infested system, and that these people are engaged in consumption of human blood and body parts, and that they prefer the blood and body parts of infants. And I can tell you for sure that that is why they are clamping and cutting the umbilical cord, is to harvest the cord blood. And that is why they are giving parents such a hard time if they want to take their placenta home. Because they're selling the placenta and they're selling the cord blood. And these things are being used in very dark ways. And this is not a joke. You want to protect your baby's placenta, and you want to protect your baby's cord blood, and you want to protect your baby. And you do not want to let your baby's umbilical cord be cut until it has turned white and your baby has received all of its cord blood. Your baby needs that blood. That blood does not belong in anywhere else except inside your baby's body. And there is mega doses of research all over the internet about the harm that is being caused to the babies through the clamping and cutting of the umbilical cord, including breathing problems, brain damage, and a series of health problems that are putting these babies in the neonatal intensive care unit because their blood is being stolen, because their oxygen supply is being stolen, because they are being violated. And because these people are trying to harness their soul. In addition, there's certain things that need to happen at birth. Like one of the big things is eye contact. So immediately after birth, the father or the mother or both should make eye contact with their baby. Eye contact is a primary means for the transmission of love and also by which the brain can activate and the neurochemicals of love can, you know, flood into the body. The neurobiology of love activates through eye contact. And so they have a very beautiful thing that they do to interfere with that eye contact, and it's called putting erythromycin ointment in the baby's eyes within minutes after birth and sometimes before the mother has had a chance to look at the baby or the father. So the erythromycin ointment is poison. It burns the baby's eyes. It causes redness all around the skin of the eyes. And it prevents the baby from making eye contact with its parents. They also put a hat on the baby. And the reason for this is very simple. There are pheromones coming off of the baby's head. And a mother needs to be able to smell her baby's head in order for the neurobiology of love to activate. Scent is a primary means by which we are attracted to each other. Of course, it's been very confused in our culture because people are wearing chemicals in their clothes. They put perfume on, cologne, you know, they put hairspray and all these chemicals all over themselves. And so scent has been altered. But in a normal world, we would know immediately if a partner was appropriate for us through their smell. In the same way, a mother recognizes her baby through smell. And so they're interfering with the smell. They're interfering with the pheromones coming off. You know how parents will say, oh, my baby's head smells so good. These are the pheromones. They are there to help activate love. The Creator has given us, you know, our senses through which love can happen. And so they're going to interfere with every aspect of it. So the hat on the head is a primary means of also undermining the neurobiology of love at birth. Another thing that they're doing is what they call swaddling. Let me say that skin-to-skin contact in a natural birth, what needs to happen is the baby needs to come out of the womb, put on the mother's body, on her belly, and you just leave it alone. Leave the baby alone. Let the baby do the breast crawl. The baby will make its way up to the breast all by itself and begin to suckle at the breast. It will look around. It will be looking for the mother or the father. It will expect, through evolution, to meet the eyes of a mother or a father that loves it. And instead, it's going to be met with the eyes of people wearing masks and gowns and bright lights in an ice-cold room on a satanic altar looking at instruments that are evil and used to cut open women's bodies and to cut off infant body parts. Not okay. This is all alien. This is an alien imprint, completely and totally. They're going to swaddle the baby to prevent skin-to-skin contact. Skin-to-skin contact is also a primary means by which we can smell each other, we can feel each other, we can look at each other. The baby can receive nurturing touch, you know, from the skin of its mother or father. It's a primary means by which love happens and by which bonding happens, and so they have to interfere with it. And that's why they swaddle the baby. That's why they wrap the baby so tight. It's like a mummified baby. Here's this baby with the stupid hat on, wrapped in blankets that are filled with toxic chemicals, so the scent is off immediately. Okay? And they can't make skin-to-skin contact. And we know for sure that when babies are swaddled, they are in parasympathetic shock. They have very high levels of cortisol when they're swaddled, which means they are in extreme stress. They are not sleeping. They are not resting. They are in shock because they think, oh, my parents are preventing me from moving. I can't move my arms. I can't move my legs. This is a form of ritual torture, and so I better dissociate. Because something serious must be going on. I can't make a sound or I'll die. I need to pretend that I'm dead. And the hospitals are teaching parents, you know, to go home and swaddle their babies. And parents are doing it against all of their natural instincts to protect their children. They are swaddling their babies and causing severe brain damage. Your baby, a swaddled baby who's been exposed to all this stuff, is going to have a very hard time trying to access human love when it becomes a teenager and an adult because it's going to have brain damage. Okay, and the last thing I want to talk about, there's several more things, but I don't know how much time I have, so let me get this in before we finish, okay? Neonatal intensive care units are places of ritual torture of the most vulnerable amongst us. And I know this because I had an infant in a neonatal intensive care unit. I watched them torture her every day for 2 months and 2 days. And my baby died while they were slicing a hole in her throat, what they call a tracheotomy. And it was only years later that I found out that they don't use anesthesia when they're cutting open babies' bodies or cutting off baby body parts. In the case of my daughter, and in the case of many children in neonatal intensive care units, they use paralyzing drugs instead, which means the baby can't move, but it can feel everything that is happening to it. And that's the same thing that they do on the other end of the spectrum when they're slicing out people's organs to harvest the organs for what they call organ donation, but which is nothing less than organ theft, is they paralyze them and rip these people's hearts out and are harvesting these organs for God knows what. What kind of satanic rituals? All right, in neonatal intensive care units, in addition to never being given anesthesia and always being paralyzed through very painful processes, the tubes are shoved. As I said before, they are orally raped through the nose and through the throat, and they're paralyzed so that the choking stops and that they can't move. They can't do anything to protect themselves from this repeated form of torture. They are repeatedly jabbed with needles every day, several times a day, in the most sensitive places in their body, like their toes. My daughter had IV lines in her head, in the veins in her skull. She had needles stuck in every part of her tiny little body before she ultimately had to leave through all the torture. They put tape on the baby's face, put it on, rip it off, put it on, rip it off, put it on, rip it off. These babies in neonatal intensive care units are put in isolation, complete sensory deprivation where there is no loving touch whatsoever. The only touch the baby receives is painful and torture stimuli. Because when your baby is attached to hundreds of wires, you can't even hold your baby. And you certainly cannot bring your baby skin to skin, ever, if they're in a neonatal intensive care unit. And you have to stand by, and your husband, our partners have to stand by and watch their children be tortured day after day after day. And to be threatened. I was threatened when I complained about it, when I complained about one particular doctor. I was threatened to not only be removed from the hospital, but to have the police called on me. Because I had to watch them do this to her. And we know that one in nine babies in the United States is ending up in a neonatal intensive care unit and being subjected to ritual torture and abuse. And we have all of us born in hospitals, have been subjected to ritual torture and abuse. When I was born, my mother was given a drug called scopolamine. Right, twilight sleep. Scopolamine is also called devil's breath because it causes a person to be willing to do whatever the people who have given her the drug tell her to do. And she won't remember. So twilight sleep, those of us born on drugs have had severe drug problems. We come into this world anesthetized. And we learn at birth that anesthesia is the way to get through a difficult situation. We might as well take some drugs in order to deal with the intensity of our lives. That's what our moms did. It's an imprint. And our bodies remember, and our bodies do it you know, do it over and over again. Also, I want to say there's a lot of other mean-spirited protocols they're going to do to babies, including vaccination. Hepatitis B is a vaccination that's mandatory in New York, and it is a venereal disease. Now, the most infants I know are not having sex unless they're born into a satanic family. They're immediately raped, and they're not sharing needles. And so why they need a vaccine for a venereal disease is a mystery, unless you understand that they want to genetically alter us from the get-go. And we know that the hepatitis B vaccine causes infant death, multiple sclerosis, autoimmune disorders, and many other things. And they're also going to be shot up with a vitamin K shot. They're going to be stuck with needles, poison in their eyes, wrapped in blankets so that they can't move, a hat put on their head, their blood stolen, their penis is cut. I mean, you name it. And the vitamin K shot, you know, synthetic vitamin K is not something any baby's body can process. It's a chemical compound. And I read somewhere that these chemical compounds are being used to influence the body in a way that it will refuse to give a home to the soul. And that's what this is about, folks. That's what all of this is about, is to turn us into biological robots who will be in service, who will be willing to go and sign up for the military and murder innocent people because some psychopath tells us to do it, who'll go and become a police officer, right, and protect these dark forces, who'll go to some job day after day after day that they hate,
mm-hmm.
to be in service, and who will never be able to see clearly what's actually going on. We're living in a satanic infested reality. Every aspect of our lives has been affected by these energies, including the way we have sex. So, I mean, I've got a lot of information on my blog. I've got a free webinar on my blog that'll help you see how we've been manipulated around sexuality. It's called Gender and Sexuality in the Western World, What's Love Got to Do with It? And if you want love, if you really want to have a relationship based on love, you ought to know that information. And women in particular need to stop using the charms of their body to lure men in. It's manipulative, and the men who want to have sex with you are not the same as a man who can love with you, who can love you and walk a spiritual path with you. And for the men too, you know, you're being taught to be drawn to objects, to be attracted to a shell that looks good, but with whom you have nothing spiritually in common. And children are being born of these false unions based on lust and appearance. And we're damaged. We're spiritually defective because of it. So this is very deep information. There is a way out. The way out is, number one, become conscious of what's going on. Begin to understand what's happening. Make your trauma conscious. Bring it to the surface by listening to shows like this. And then find a tool, a holistic tool, that will help you repattern your nervous system and open up neurological highways that were not able to open because of all the trauma. Open up parts of your brain that were not able to function because of all the trauma. And open up new neurological possibilities for loving relationships. instead of relationships that are duplicating what our parents are doing or that are based in lust. Those are the keys, becoming conscious and finding tools. Cranial sacral therapy, Jin Shin Jitsu, emotional freedom technique, Watsu therapy in the water is amazing for prenatal trauma, for those of us that were in wombs where we were not wanted or born into parents who did not love each other and who did not love us. If people want support one-on-one, that is something that I offer for people that want to heal and want support through that process. You know, you can find my contact information on my website at birthofanewearth.com. But finding a holistic tool, the trauma is in the body, the trauma is in the nervous system, the trauma is locked in the brain. And so the tool has to be not just psychotherapy where you're going to talk about things. It has to be physiological. It has to connect with the neurological system and deal with the somatic memory, the cellular memory. That's the key. Okay. I personally like Jinshin. It's a Japanese system of subtle energy medicine. And once you learn the map of the body, you have a tool for the rest of your life. All you need is your fingertips and, you know, a working map of the body to understand how the flows work. And you never need a healer again. You can practice self-care like I do every day. And I would never be sitting here talking to you about this or understand what I understand now if I wasn't practicing Jinshin every day. Because it's helped me heal that much that I can see what I see. And talk about it.
All right.
I think that's all I'm going to share tonight. If there's any questions, I would be open to, you know, answering them.
Yeah, I had questions about an hour and 10 minutes ago, but I forgot them.
Yeah. I realize also that this information is very hard for people to hear, so I want to apologize up front about that.
No, I just think in interviews like this, and I was more or less letting you run, which is fine, except it's to because you're going to be on air with us here. Try not to go more than like 10 minutes without letting the other person know that that they still exist.
Normally when I do a radio show, I'm interviewing other people, so I'm much more quiet than I am when I'm being interviewed.
No, it's just a good practice that you want to make sure everybody's involved. And
yeah.
I was, because I know you're going to be on air with us, and I'm not mad or anything. I'm happy to have you, but it's just, it just makes for better radio when there's more people involved in the conversation.
Right
but
on.
Other than that, welcome aboard.
Other than that what?
Welcome aboard. And when do you start, this Wednesday or next?
I start this Wednesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And my guest is going to be Kevin Annett, and we are going to be talking about common law courts and the fact that he has created courts which have found the Pope Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, guilty of child trafficking and child torture. And basically we're going to be taking on some of the most evil people on our planet through these common law courts. And so Kevin's going to be sharing a little bit about his history and about what the amazing work that he's been doing.
Well, that would sound excellent, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for joining us.
Right. It's going to be a powerful show.
All right. And one more time, where's your website at? And then I have a caller that wants to talk to me personally, so I'm going to grab them. But let everybody know how they can find you and how they can learn about more of what your work is.
Sure. My website is birthofanewearth.com, and my blog is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com, and my YouTube channel is also called Birth of a New Earth. Lots of information out there. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and good luck on Wednesday.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'm gonna get two promos, or maybe three real quick here, and I want to talk to Tessa for a few minutes, so just bear with me. We're just going to get these three out of the way because I want to promote as many different shows as I possibly can here on our network, so we'll be right back.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is AD Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman.
And me, A.D. Venture.
For the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network, Bloody Beak Radio, punching the New World Order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives? In a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
Mainstream media is a focus on old, tired ideas brought to you by old, tired people. Bring yourself back to the youth, the promise, the sharp vision of the next generation. No holds barred talk on politics, news, and everything else. The Next Generation. Mondays, 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 midnight Eastern, right after the Proof Negative Show, only on Freedomizer.
Come listen to Ancient of Days, where we talk about the lies, misrepresentations, and holes in the history we learned in school. Mondays, 3 p.m. Pacific time, only on Freedomizer. Thank you.
All right, and on that note, we're going to bring in Tessa. Tessa Dick, of course, one of our own here at Freedomizer, and our resident celebrity, if you will. Welcome in.
Hi. I didn't hear it say nice. Unmute.
Oh, well, unmuted. Does that help?
Hey, Tammy, the crazy Canadian is in the chat room.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe we can get her to host the show again.
Yeah, I was trying to talk her into that. There's something weird with Skype in Canada. So I don't know how that works out, but she's welcome to call in.
Yeah, and Google Voice it works really great. It's much better than Skype.
Yeah, but have you used it to call in to Freedomizer with?
I called in to Sound Doctrine, and it worked just fine.
Okay.
Only problem I had was that my headset had a loose wire, so I kept cutting out. But that wasn't because of Google Voice. Well, anyway.
See, I've never used Google Voice, so I really don't know how that works.
Well, Minister Kenneth told me to try it.
Okay.
So after a couple weeks, I finally did.
Well, we're looking forward to having you next Saturday here with us at the Freedomizer Conference.
Next Saturday?
Yeah, the 30th. I can't believe it's there already.
Now, this is the 18th.
Yeah, not this Saturday,
it,
but the next Saturday. We have about 12 days or so.
Yeah, okay. You scared me for a minute there. Well, anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure.
So you haven't met any other Freedomizers yet, have you, other than myself?
I don't think so, not in person, but on the air, of course.
Yeah, oh, we'll change that.
Yeah, oh, I just don't
so
get out.
So what have you been working on lately? What have
working
you been working on lately, Tessa? Yeah.
Oh, lately. I'm supposed to be writing a sequel to my murder mystery. But it's time-consuming. Murder mysteries are not necessarily more difficult than other genres, but you have to watch every little detail so that there is evidence of who done it so much that it's too obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, and of course a sequel to my science fiction epic Fallen Angels. I was going to write nonfiction about that idea that angels mated with human women, but I didn't think anyone would believe it, so I wrote a novel.
Oh, well. Hey, do you want me to bring in Tammy right now?
Yes.
All right.
Well,
hello. Hello, Tammy. I'm guessing you wanted to say hi. I didn't see the one button, but I'm guessing you were trying anyway.
I know better than to try. I just like, okay, I'm in queue, and I just wait patiently to get noticed. But hi, everybody. Hi, Tessa. Hi, Proof.
Hi. Oh, it's so good to
hear
your voice again.
Why, thank you very much, and good to hear you guys, too. I'm only catching a little bit of the ending of the show because I was otherwise detained.
Well,
but
okay. I only caught a little bit of the end of the show, too.
Yeah,
well,
who was your helper tonight, Proof?
I don't
was
have
someone who made me cuss, so I had to get all
no.
my cuss words out before I called in.
Oh, my.
She was talking about giving birth.
Yeah, I kind of caught a little bit of that, but I hadn't caught the, like, first part of the whole thing, so I really wasn't going to – I didn't really know what was going on. I just sat patiently and waited, and, you know.
Well, that's what I did, but she's not here to defend herself, so I'm not going to say anything, And hopefully
yeah.
she has a good show. She's going to try to take over on Wednesdays. Hopefully it works out.
Oh, is she?
Well,
she's going to be a new hostess.
Yeah.
Good for her. What's her show
yeah.
going to be about?
Beth? Yeah. We're not kind of
like
sure,
me when
Beth.
I first started. You know, when I first started, I was so newbie and I didn't know anything. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about? I don't know anything.
Did
you know?
She say her first guest was? At least he's not
the
going to
out.
Talk
I didn't
about
write it
childbirth.
Down. Well, I'm sure there'll be more than that.
I hope so. We already have the birthing revolution.
All I can say about birthing is I'm done.
She's got a maternity leave right now, so she'll be back.
Yeah, Wednesday's at 4:30 Pacific, I think she said.
Oh, good. Well, I'll have to tune in and check her out then.
1:30? Oh, it's 4:30 Eastern.
Yes.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah, because we have we don't have anybody scheduled at that time, so she's helping fill a day at least.
That's good.
Good. Yeah, well, I just called to say hi, guys, and I had quite a few things happening in the last little while since we talked, and I got an article out there, and I had it published November 7th, and explaining a lot of stuff that we talk about with the GMOs and the HARP stuff and the chemtrails and stuff, and with all the researching I did this year, I really got a good handle on things, and I kind of put it in order, so it's been published in... oh, my gosh, positivehealth.com.
Oh, and, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really proud of it. It took me 4 months to write it. I was only allowed 1,500 words, so I had so much information to put in such a small space, but I did it to the best of my ability. It turned out really good. I threw some pictures in there.
You need to give us a link.
Yeah.
Give us a link to it.
Yes, you're right. I forgot where I am for a second. I can do that for you, I think. But it's positivehealth.com, and the it's a very prestigious health magazine online. And the title of the article is Morgellon, the M-word you've never heard of. It's not my title. They changed it on me, and I'm trying to remember what they called it. But it has Morgellon in it. But it's really a basis of how it all starts. And bear with me while I look for that link you asked me for, Tessa, while I kind of take up too much time, because I know you're going to be finishing your show soon, Proof.
Well, that's all right. You can help me kill the last 5 minutes. I don't really mind. I like having you on with us again.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping. Yeah, I've been wanting to for a while, but I've been having internet problems. I've been having, I've just been having problems, but now I had the chance to come on and say hi to everybody and see how my computer would handle Skyping in, which it didn't do too bad, I have to say, at this time. Okay, where is that darn link? Oh, always when you're looking for something, right? Isn't that how it works?
Morgellon's M-word you've never heard of. I got it.
Oh, you found... Oh, Tessa, thank you.
I've got your link.
Yeah,
I'm the fastest Google in town.
You're awesome. So there's all kinds of information in there, even a couple other radio shows I did, or specifically one with Russ Tanner and Global Skywatch. That was a really good one. I made a couple of YouTube videos, too. Specifically, Proof, you'd be interested with my pulsing particle, which I discovered was a smart dust chip.
Okay.
I think you've heard me harp about that before. So I have video of that on YouTube now. All you have to search is my daily Morgellon life, and you'll find the videos. Or search Crazy Dragon Rasico, or Crazy Dragon as you see it, C-R-A-I-Z-Y Dragon. And Rasico is spelled R-A-C-I-C-O-T, and you can search those YouTube videos. I've got a few up there. We all know I've been scoping my Morgellon samples and still working on that darn documentary, but I'm getting there, and there's more awareness. My Facebook group has over 300 members now, and we're coming along. People are waking up. I'm just so impressed the amount of people that are just starting to realize something's wrong, you know, and accepting things more.
Okay, I got the link saved.
So you
great
found
article,
me?
Lots of information.
Oh, I'm telling you, Tessa, everything on the references I read personally at least 5 times to make sure that I was getting the information I wanted, you know, and there's all kinds. So if there's anything you're going to doubt or despair, you're going to find it in the references, and there's a lot of terms that people won't understand what words mean. So I made definitions in the end of it. So you'll know what hypothalamus means, and you'll know what cell mitosis is and all that stuff, because it's not normally words you would hear every day, but they really have a big impact, and you need to understand where I'm coming from to explain why so many people get sick. It's just one part of it. I've been asked to do another follow-up article, and I'll probably concentrate more on the Morgellon aspect because that's my genre right now. I kind of don't really pay attention to too much other stuff, but it all relates. It really, really does.
We need you. We need you back on the air here. We have
I know.
Open
I want to obligate, but I can't at the time because I'm just so up in the air about things.
Well,
as you know,
internet.
I haven't been. Yeah. Yeah.
If you get a Gmail account, you can use Google Voice. It should be free anywhere in North America.
Is that like a Skype?
Yeah, but it's on Google, and it works better because it doesn't tie up so many of your computer's resources.
Yeah, the resources, yeah. And me being so far up north, you never know how my internet's going to work. But I have been considering it, Tessa. Believe me, I would love to be a guest on your show someday. Absolutely. Just ask
me.
Well,
you can call in any Monday, a few minutes after 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes, ma'am. I will. Absolutely. And you too, Proof. I would love to come back on and chat with you every now and then. This is the first chance I've gotten to in months. It's been unbelievable. I've only had internet for maybe a month or so. So.
Okay. Proof is going on
right,
out of here.
All right. I have my time card, so I'm getting ready to walk out here. So much.
Hey, well, love to talk to you guys. This is fun.
Right, guys, get up to the handrail, hope alive. Remember, only 10% of the bar is fire. Take this generation.